Okay, everybody, workday's over.
This is the best of the OG with Ovius and Giglio podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Brought to you by Capital Financial Advisory Group. Get your total retirement income plan by texting JOE to 21000. Enjoy the best of today's show. Here's Ovius and Giglio.
It's the OG. I'm Joe Giglio. Joe Ovius is out today. Jonathan Rand is out today. Dennis Cox is producing. And Dennis, congratulations. We've made it. The ACC college football season begins tonight. NC State taking on South Florida here at Carter-Finley Stadium. 7:30 kick. Season starts. That's actually where Rand is today.
Of course he is.
So we're going to have to check in with Rand.
Yeah.
Little tailgating action. He should be sober for the first check-in, right?
I would hope
the first check-in.
I mean, it's only 3 o'clock right now. Game's at 7:30 tonight, right?
Yeah, gates opened at 1. So 1:30, 6 hours before kickoff.
Oh, wow. Okay. So some people might not be, but we trust John Rand. He's a good young man.
We will check in with Rand, who is tailgating for the NC State South Florida game tonight. But I'm actually, I every year on the record on the yellow pad, I give my predictions for how I believe the ACC will go.
Okay.
This is for every ACC game. I'm not one of those people who gives you a projected record and doesn't tell you who I think is going to, which games they're going to lose.
Of course.
Like, it can be easy sometimes to just say, hey, Team X is going to go 4-4.
Yeah.
That's easy. That's the easy way out.
You know what the funny thing is sometimes with that, Giglio, is if you look at ACC records just within conference, you know, you're supposed to have a 500 between overall wins and losses.
Right.
But some people have their predictions. You're right. It's like 7 more wins than there are losses or something along those lines. So you're like, wait, how can this prediction be accurate if that's the case?
So in this year, it can be because we'd have more losses, right?
That's
we could
true.
Have the we double have, loss this year.
We could have that.
I didn't even factor that.
Oh, gosh. If that happens.
Okay. So this is how I actually voted during the ACC kickoff. I have Clemson winning the Atlantic Division. I know. Congratulations, Joe. I have Boston College second. I'm big on the Eagles.
Okay.
5-3 this year. I have the Wolfpack going 5-3 in ACC play. That includes a loss to Boston College. And then the other side, like, I don't know how many times I'm going to say this. I don't believe in Miami. I spent too long believing in Miami.
Yeah.
I remember when Miami was the U. I remember they finished in the top 5 4 years in a row before they joined the ACC. Then they got here. Do you know how many times they've been in the top 5 since they've joined the ACC?
Probably not 4.
0.
Bingo.
0. They've won the ACC championship 0 times. They've technically won the Coastal title twice, although one of them was a, I don't want to use those words, it was a circle of suck. Is that a word? Yeah. Mm. Where they tied the year that they were ineligible for the postseason and Carolina was ineligible for the postseason. So technically, they can claim a share of the Coastal Division that year. But this is not the juggernaut that the ACC was planning on adding when they added Miami. But you can't tell any of their fans that,
no.
Dennis Cox. On Twitter, there are more Miami fans on Twitter than there are in real life. That's without a doubt. If you've ever been to a game at Miami and sat in an empty or a third empty Hard Rock Stadium, basically whenever they don't play a ranked team, the place is empty. So there's more Miami fans on Twitter than there are in real life. I have Miami going 5-3 in the ACC this year. I don't think that's unreasonable.
Mm-mm.
It's not like I have them falling off the face of the earth. Now,
Who they are now.
That's
who they are. And that's okay.
It is for most schools, but not when you have 5 national championships you're in the richest talent portion of the country, right?
Fair point.
But Miami fans don't like this prediction. Pittsburgh fans are a little bit on me, too. And so are Virginia Tech fans. I got Pitt 5-3. I don't really see what's wrong with that. And Virginia Tech 3-5. I mean, and can we name anybody? Like, I think this is a year where you can name a lot of the players back in the ACC because of that free year of eligibility.
Yeah, you can name a few of them. Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of familiar faces in the ACC this year.
Yeah.
Virginia Tech's not one of those teams, though.
No.
They actually lost two first-round picks, one of whom opted out last year, Caleb Farley. Look, I don't think they're going to be terrible, but 3-5 is probably about
what they are.
500s, one game under 500.
Justin Fuente has not recruited well to Virginia Tech. Let's be honest.
And the players that he has added have left.
Yeah.
And they're basically a transfer portal team, which is not the end of the world. There are teams who are able to win that way, but I just don't have a lot of faith in Virginia Tech. But it's funny because every year I post these, and of course, like I'm telling you right now, Cox, guess what? I'm going to get a bunch of these games wrong. I literally picked every game.
I don't believe you.
I'm going to get a bunch of games wrong. There'll be like two teams that I get exactly right. There will be two teams that I come within like, I don't know, one game of. And then there'll be one or two teams probably in each division that I'm just completely way off base on.
Yeah.
Right? So by the end of the year, that'll be the one fan base who reaches out and is like, hey, you're an idiot.
Told you.
I actually like the preemptive you're an idiots, though, today from Miami fans. I just want to read a couple of those from my Twitter feed. Again, you can read this story on WRLSportsFan.com. I posted my full season predictions there before the start of the ACC season. So this is from, and it's always like a great little game to figure out which teams they're fans of. Mm-hmm. Most times you don't have to work that hard, though. This one's from Canes for Life, Dennis.
Oh.
It's the Gordon Ramsay gif where he says, what are you? And puts the two slices of bread on the woman's ears.
Yeah.
And she's enforced to say, an idiot sandwich. Come on, Miami fans. You're better than that.
Are they, though?
I feel like they are. This one's from Sean Kalidas, also a Miami fan. I don't think you did your homework, shorty. Shorty. Shorty?
Okay. So that's how it's going to be.
This pretty bad.
All right.
I don't think anyone's ever called me shorty before. I'm actually kind of taking that as a compliment, particularly the way that he spelled it, right?
Yeah, you should.
Like, he's like calling me his boo. Like shorty. Oh. Boo, right?
Does your wife know that?
I mean, random people on the internet do strange things, Dennis Cox. So, Miami fans not happy. Here's another one. The Black Hulk. This is some of the dumbest bleep I've ever seen. Wow. It seems harsh to me. Syracuse, who I picked to win one game, 1-7.
Yeah.
I had to struggle to find the one game for them. I think Syracuse is going to be a tire fire this year. From Cuse Sports 44. That's actually pretty good given Syracuse's connection to the number 44. Mm-hmm. Joe, we will make you pay for this.
Oh.
To which I responded, yes, either that or Dino Babers buyout.
Wrong, sir. Wrong.
Can you imagine like being a Syracuse fan and like find it? I didn't even tag Syracuse. It's not like.
Yeah.
You had to look for this in order to react to it. Same with Miami. I did not tag any Miami fans on this. Georgia Tech's another school that perpetually does not like it wherever I pick them, even though I picked them to win the ACC in basketball last year. This is from.
And you were right on that.
And I was right. From Jacket for Life, lol. Georgia Tech will finish no worse than fourth in the Coastal. Do you know who I picked Georgia Tech? I picked Georgia Tech to go 2-6. Do you know who has the toughest schedule of any team in the entire country?
In the entire country?
Yes.
Oh, that's a good question.
It's Georgia Tech.
Is it Georgia Tech?
Yeah.
Yeah, because probably got to play Clemson. And
they cross over with Clemson, and they play Notre Dame out of conference this year for whatever reason, and they play Georgia. I mean,
have fun.
Their schedule's really hard. and the tough part about that, Dennis, is there are games like Georgia Tech, you could play Duke, or you could play Virginia Tech or Virginia or wherever, or Syracuse. But when do you play them? See, a big thing on my predictions, like I have a whole stat about when teams play Clemson, the next week they win about 30% less of the time than they normally do, which is fairly remarkable if you think about it.
Yeah.
That's how dominant Clemson has been over the last 6 years.
Yeah, you just get beat up.
They just demoralize teams. I have Clemson losing to Pitt as their lone loss this year.
Really?
And I have picked North Carolina to beat Clemson. I have Carolina going 10-2 in the regular season, but beating Clemson in the ACC championship game. Sam Howell talked about what position they're in going into the season. Because they open tomorrow night against Virginia Tech. And look, I could have some serious egg on my face if Carolina goes to Blacksburg and loses on Friday night. But, well, let's hear what Sam Howell said.
I think that just the anticipation is just higher, man. I'm just really excited to get out there and play. You know, that's the best thing about playing football is actually playing football. So I'm just excited to get out there with my guys and play. It's a lot of fun. Just playing with my teammates. You know, we go out there and we have a lot of fun together. So I'm just really excited to see what we got. You know, we really don't know what type of team we have, and we'll know pretty soon on Friday night what type of team we have. So I'm just super excited for our team to get out there.
Words to live by there from Sam Howell. The best part of football is playing football. And it's true, because we've spent the last 6-7 months talking about football and not actually seeing any football. Of course, that changes tonight and tomorrow. I'm looking forward to that Carolina-Virginia Tech game tomorrow night up in Blacksburg. Oh, we have Jonathan Rand?
We do.
From the parking lot?
Yes.
All right, let's check in. Jonathan Rand, producer of this program, took the day off to tailgate for the NC State game.
Fellas, what's up? I'm out here in the parking lots at Carter-Finley. It's a beautiful day. It's a perfect day to start football, week one. You know, parking lots are filling up right now, having a good time. Really pumped for this game. State's a, I think, 18-point favorite, give or take. That sounds about right. I like it. I like this team for State. They bring back tons of starters. I'm feeling pretty good about it. I feel like 8-9 wins is pretty much where we should be. I think the optimism is here at Carter-Finley. Devin Leary's back and healthy. You got Bam Knight. You got Ricky Person in the backfield. You got Emeka Emezi back for his 12th year at State, which is awesome. No, I'm kidding, but I'm super excited. I think this could be a good year for State. I know it's Dave's 9th year, which is kind of crazy to think about. But, yeah, you got South Florida, and then who knows? You know, next week in Mississippi State, you win that one. You're off to a good start, and you just do what you need to do like Dave Doran does. And 8 or 9 wins is pretty practical. So we're pretty pumped around here. Like I said, the optimism's here. There's Chicken Supremes and bone-in chicken from Bojangles. So I know Julio will be excited to know that. I'm taking polls as I go through the parking lot, asking people if they prefer Supremes to the bone-in chicken. I will report back later with that result. But, yeah, lots of optimism early on in the parking lots here.
That sounds very rational, Cox. Like, that sounds, yeah, like level-headed, and so maybe he hasn't been.
Yeah, he had a quick moment. I think he said he just got
just
there.
Just got there.
Just got
okay.
there.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Here comes Jeff Hostetler for my Giants fans of a certain age. It's Joe Giglio from the OG. Joe Ovius is out today, actually out tomorrow, and we're all out on Monday. We'll all be back on Tuesday. Dennis Cox is producing today because Jonathan Rand is tailgating over at Carter-Finley Stadium. We'll check in with him a little bit next hour. Right now, though, when Rand's gone, Cox, he takes it as a personal affront. Acapella the News must go on.
Yeah.
We've got to get you your own intro for this, Cox.
It's time for Rand to acapella the News.
All right. Pack get underway tonight. Things might get a little crazy, Joe.
Okay.
So there's no better way than a little crazy rap. On a 45, want a touchdown. Baby, that's all they need. We can go to the run, up the gut, go and get that TD. And as the play clock burns, the fans take their turn, singing them old fight songs. Stop and kick the ball, but don't take too long. We'll be here all night long. So run, run, run the ball. Pick up a 1st and 10. Scoring high and well, flying all around, getting that big first win. So throw, throw, throw the ball. Trust in Devin Leary. And if Bam and Person just don't score, I bet a Messi will. Yeah, you know, had a little fun with it.
It was short by your standards.
Well, you know, that next verse is actually extremely long. So, yeah, otherwise it would have been here for like 2 minutes.
Glorious.
Yeah. Trust me, the words were written.
So, nothing will ever top in my book, Baby Shark.
Really? I Need a Free Throw?
Oh, that was so good, too. But obviously, another strong effort there. Dennis, always appreciate you. Right. Helping us with Acapella the News. And With Joe out, I got Lauren Brownlow from WRALSportsFan.com to help us with some Hey J-Lo questions. Lauren Brownlow, how are you today?
Good. J-Lo. Wow. That's, you know, I don't know if I can live up to that kind of standard, but I'll do my best.
Well, I mean, between the two of us, we have the J and you have the low. I don't know. We'll figure it out, right?
Yeah.
We'll fake it till we make it. How about that? Cox, we got some questions. Joe cracked
it on. We do. First one comes from Alec. Hey, Joe, which is your favorite lame nickname? Is it Wuffies, Tar Holes, or Dookies?
Ugh, all bad.
You've seen all of these, Lauren. What do you think?
You have to pick one. My favorite, like, is this like a facetious favorite? So, like, actually my least favorite? Because my least favorite is absolutely, like, the Tar Hole one. Just because it, like, it sounds kind of gross to me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It gets into a sexual connotation in there as well, which we don't probably need. Best to move on, Cox.
All right. From the boss, hey, J-Lo, Brooke's mom wants to know if Joe Rogan is the other Joe who works with Joe Giglio.
Yeah, Brooke Kane is a wonderful writer and reporter for the News and Observer. Very creative. But her mom is apparently confused, Brownlow, because she thinks Joe Ovius is Joe Rogan?
Well, that's interesting, isn't it? That
Joe would not stand for such slander. I know that.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, no, definitely not. And as far as I know, Joe Ovius not only does not have COVID currently, but is not taking ivermectin. I believe that Joe Rogan is currently doing that. Also, he does like 3-hour podcasts, which Joe Ovius would never do a 3-hour podcast.
No, so, yeah. Only a 3-hour live podcast, Lauren Brownlow.
Right.
Only a 3-hour. That's right.
Yes.
Exactly. All right, Cox, what's next?
Pretty sure Ovius knows zero about UFC either, or any mixed martial
arts.
That's
right. All right, this one comes from Johnny the Greek. Hey, Joe, how much money do you put on the Bucks to repeat after Bruce Arians said that the whole organization is vaccinized?
Yeah, I saw this today, Lauren. Bruce Arians, obviously a little bit older. We could probably assign some wisdom to him as well. But he came out and said that the entire organization, coaches, staff, you name it, all of the players, 100% vaccinated. Obviously, the Buccaneers were already the favorite to repeat, but does this enhance your faith in Eric's team to win back-to-back Super Bowl championships?
Yes, and you know what I hate, too, is that, like, I've always liked Bruce Arians. Yes. I still like Bruce Arians, but I don't like Tom Brady, and I don't like that team. But they make it so hard for me to not like them because they're very likable. And Tom Brady makes it easy, at least. Like, at least I have that. But it's like, God, I wasn't even like unhappy when they won the Super Bowl because of Bruce Arians. It's the worst.
Has your husband, who is a Buccaneers fan, has he gloated this over you, the championship, or was he more of just someone who enjoyed it as he's been a long suffering Bucs fan, I would add.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. He's gloated. He's gloated
he has.
A lot.
Okay.
And
I didn't.
He's gone all in on converting our son
to
being a Bucs fan.
Has it worked?
The way, like, well, yeah, because, like, why wouldn't it?
Oh, because they're winning.
The Panthers are boring right now.
Yes. Yes.
You know, I had to show my kid Cam Newton highlights from Auburn to get my kid to, like, understand how fun Cam Newton used to be back in the day. I feel I'm such an old person right now with this. Like, it's so sad. I promise the Panthers used to be fun.
At least you got to show him highlights, though, and you, like, didn't have to read it from, like, the back of, like, the Blue right. Book preseason almanac or something, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know he was going for the younger generation, Lauren. I'm not sure we should stand for that.
I mean, I've been trying to, like, let him make his own decision.
Sure.
Honestly. But it's become, like, kind of a playful thing between us, especially when, you know, Alex was younger and very impressionable and would just repeat whatever, you know, either of us said to him. But, yeah, it's definitely a thing. And, like, how can I in good conscience be, like, tell my kid to root for the Panthers? I don't want him to have that life.
And it's an excellent point. Lauren Brownlow, WRAL sports fan, joining me here on the OG. I'm Joe Giglio. Joe Ovius is out today. So is producer Jonathan Rand. Dennis Cox is in for him. Cox, what do we got next?
Being able to be orally gifted.
How we miss those. From the notorious T.O.B. Hey, J-Lo, over or under when State fans leave the game tonight with 2 minutes left in the third quarter?
So earlier in the week, Dave Doran comes out and gave the usual plea, not to just come back at halftime, but to be a four-quarter crowd.
Oh, honey.
If this game goes the way I think it will, because South Florida was winless in American Athletic Conference play last year, and NC State's actually a 19-point favorite now, numbers moving towards the Wolfpack, this feels to me like the crowd will empty before the start of the fourth quarter, Lauren. But I'm curious as what would your guess be?
Yeah, because like I think it just depends somewhat, right? Like if the game is within reach at halftime, everybody's still gonna do the pass outs, right? Because that's still a thing, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, they're still doing that. Yes. Yeah. So everybody's still gonna do that. But if it's super lopsided at half, I think people just stay out and they don't come back.
Yeah, I'm curious as to how many people took tomorrow off too, right? Like, because you could have a super long weekend if you're a State fan and you made your plans around this, and maybe you try to enjoy it, particularly since most fans weren't able to attend games last year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious to see what it looks like tonight. I'll be heading over there after the show, but I can't remember the last time I was in a stadium full of people. I guess the Canes.
I know, it's going to be weird.
But that was hockey. That wasn't football.
Yeah, the last time for me, I think, was the ACC tournament in 2020 when Carolina got obliterated by Syracuse.
Yes, that's right. Then the world shut down. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. All right, Cox, what's next?
All right, this comes from Pac-Man SJP. Hey, Joe, the double forfeit game is going to be State Carolina, right?
Oh, my gosh.
No, it's going to be a Coastal Division game. We know that.
It has to be, right? The double.
Of course it does.
I made my season predictions today, Lauren, and I'm disappointed in myself for not coming up with a double forfeit.
It's Pitt has to be involved.
Yes.
I feel like.
I have Pitt beating Clemson, but losing to Syracuse.
And oh, God, that's the most Pitt thing.
Exactly. That's what all of their fans are like. Hey, this guy actually might have an idea of what Pitt football's like.
When I was going back through like Cade Fortin's stats in that game, and I was sort of remembering Carolina's season that year, I got a chuckle out of the fact that Carolina's only win against an FBS team that year was Pitt. Yeah, it was amazing.
Pitt has an incredible history in college football. They've had some of the best players ever.
Yeah.
But man, since they've joined the ACC, they've had some. Now, keep in mind, before they joined the ACC, they had like four coaches in 2 years. Like, they were going through something there. I will say they are at least stabilized now. And I just kind of think of Pitt as NC State, right? I mean, they're capable of really beating anybody, but they invariably find their water level at 8-4 or 7-5. I mean, that's just...
Yeah, they by rule, almost have at least one stupid loss each year or flirt with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll have at least one stupid win each year that you're like, how did they beat that team?
That's the flip side of it, is they usually come up with a pretty great win. Unfortunately for them, I just wish they had their own stadium. I wish they didn't have to play in Heinz Field, where it's almost always half empty unless they're playing West Virginia or Penn State or Notre Dame, you know, like I think that stinks for their players. It's probably great for their players to be at a pro facility, but it's one of those programs. They have a much better history than where their current status is. So I have Pitt going 5-3 this year. I felt pretty safe about that.
Yeah, that sounds about right for them. I think Greg Barnes from Inside Carolina wrote a piece about teams that always overperform or underperform their preseason predictions. Mm-hmm. And I think Pitt was among the leaders in overperforming their expectations. But it's all about the journey and how you get there with Pitt. That's why I think people continuously discount them, because they're like, yeah, but they're going to lose the dumb game. That's just what they always do.
They have a knack for beating Miami or one of the teams in the ACC. They did beat Clemson in 2016. So... All right, Cox.
I need Pat Narduzzi to remember to stop settling for field goals. That's all.
Yeah, he's a defensive guy at heart. His best year was the one with Matt Canada. That's crazy when you think about it.
Yes, it is.
It was a marriage made in heaven. It was awesome. All right, Cox, what's next?
All right, this one comes from the Will Ponds. Hey, J-Lo, what is the most Mets story this season?
All right, Lauren, have you seen the latest with the Mets?
Was that when they had a player like lose a piece of jewelry, right? And they were like, they were all like hunting for it for like hours after the game or something like that? I did see that.
That would feel like a very Mets story. This unfortunately is very on brand for the Mets as well. They're acting. So here's the key part here. They're acting general manager Zach Scott has been placed on administrative leave 2 days after he was arrested on a DWI charge in New York. The team announced that on Thursday. So I stumbled on the word acting because I'm thinking to myself, didn't they have a problem at the beginning of the season?
Yep.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Scott was promoted to acting general manager in January after Jared Porter was fired following an ESPN report that he sent sexually explicit, uninvited text messages and images to a female reporter in 2016 when he was working for the Cubs. This actually tops the players booing their own fans, in my opinion, in Mets ineptitude, right?
Because that's right. That just happened, too. That's pretty good.
Because,
that one is pretty, pretty Mets.
You also had the owner calling out the players for stinking on Twitter because he's basically a fan who just happens to have a bunch of money, who bought the team from the Wilpons. This one feels like... I didn't know any of the context when I saw it on Twitter. It was like, oh, he got a DWI. He's being placed on administrative leave. I'm not trying to diminish his act or what happened there. What is funny to me is that he was the acting GM because the other GM was taking pictures of his junk and sending it to people that did not need to see pictures of said junk. Only the Mets, Lauren. Only the Mets.
Yes, that's accurate.
All right, Cox, what's next?
All right, next one we have here from Fatty2x4. Hey, Joe, should every golf tournament have starting strokes?
So the Tour Championship, Lauren, is based on your standing in the playoff race. So you get strokes to start the tournament. So Patrick Cantlay is the leader, and it starts the tournament at 10 under. Is this fair? And then it's staggered all the way down to even. There's only 30 players in the field. But there is a merit to it. But do you wish... What is something in your life that you wished you had starting strokes in?
Wow, that's a good question. Cooking.
Cooking?
For sure. Yeah.
But you can't cook.
Well, yeah. So, like, I don't know what the equivalent would be in cooking, but okay. I would love to have, like, a bit of a built-in advantage there somehow. Like, whether it's, like, prepackaged meals or whatever it is, like, yes.
I think they have services for that now where they, like, send you the ingredients and
yeah,
you can...
but it's so expensive.
Oh,
you know?
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
I was thinking, like, tonight I'll be running a story about NC State and South Florida. Mm-hmm. It would be awesome if I had starting strokes in that game story, right? Like, if the first 400 words were already written for me.
I mean, I could probably send you like a good 200.
Should we guess?
That
would be awesome if we pre-wrote something now.
Just do like a Mad Lib game story. Yeah.
Yes, I've done that before actually in the NCAA tournament when NC State played Xavier, believe it or not. Because that was when TJ Warren was really hot and he was on that scoring streak. And I literally wrote this because it was a 9:45 start. I was sitting in the press room with Debbie Yao at, I think it was like 5 o'clock we were sitting there. And I did that, Lauren. I sat and I typed like 6 paragraphs. And after the game, she was like, "You were really close." And I was like, "Yes.
Yeah.
It's not that hard." Chris Mack was the Xavier coach at the time. I'm like, "This guy doesn't win in the tournament. He doesn't do anything good in the tournament." She's like, "Well, come on now." I know. I said, "Hey, you know." Did you have a chance to listen to Relaxed Debbie Yao in the Pack Therapy podcast?
I have not heard that yet, but I'm super excited to listen. Like that, that's a great get by you, obviously.
Well, thank you. But you've talked to Debbie so many times,
yeah.
And you know she's still guarded, don't get me wrong. But like I could tell in retirement, like she told a couple stories about expansion from 22 and from 2011 that I was like, oh, these are great stories. Like, and these are probably not stories that Debbie would have told me while she was still at NC State. So there were portions of it that I thought were hysterical. Then she even said at one point that she missed. She asked, "Do you miss me?" And I'm like, "Of course." And then I said, "Well, do you miss me?" And she's like, "Depends."
Oh, Debbie. She's amazing.
Well, Lauren Brownlow, we will talk to you on Tuesday. Appreciate you. You have your gift preview up for the weekend on WRALsportsfan.com?
Yes, I do. It is up right now. So check out what I predict will happen tonight and see how wrong I will be and the rest of the weekend.
I got faith in you. Opening week. Did you take Clemson or Georgia?
Well, I only am doing the locals with my GIFs now. There's too many. Expansion has made it too difficult.
That's right. You used to do the whole league, and now you just do our locals. Check it out, WRALsportsfan.com. And Lauren, we will talk to you on Tuesday. Appreciate you helping me out today with Hey Joe.
All right.
Fellas, woo, we are having a good time out here. It's getting full out here. It's getting packed, and we're excited. Listen, I'm getting pretty excited about the season. I'm just saying, listen, South Florida, I 18 points is way too, like hammer the over. I mean, I'm thinking 28 points at this point. Listen, Devin Leary, people are talking about Sam Howell a lot for Heisman. Don't be surprised if Devin Leary gets there. Listen, I mean, we win this game, beat Mississippi State in Starksville. What I mean, listen, Mike Leach. Nobody has confidence in Mike Leach. Then you go to Clemson, undefeated at 3-0. DJ Uiagalelei, guys, he's started less games than Devin Leary has in his career. Okay, he has so many. Just add one more L to his name. It's done. Clemson. I mean, Travis Etienne's out for the year. I don't know what they have. So we beat Clemson. I honestly think double-digit wins is the minimum for this state team. When you look at the schedule, I know they don't play Virginia. They don't play, you know, they do play Syracuse, but they don't play, like, you know, the lower teams in the Coastal this year, so that sucks. But they've got a chance, guys. I'm thinking 10 or 11 wins. I'm thinking New Year's Six Bowl. I'm thinking, like, we play Carolina twice this year because we meet them in the ACC Championship game. And I'm thinking a top 15 finish in the college football playoff ranking. Like, if they had expanded the playoff this year, State would be knocking on the door, guys. I'm serious. And the way Doran's recruiting, I mean, just keep the bell tower lit red all year long. All year long. I'm telling you, 10 or 11 wins, college football playoff on the doorstep. We're not there right now, but, man, we're knocking. I'm just telling you. Devin Leary's got, like, 4 more years of eligibility because of the NCAA. Just give him 2 Heismans now. He's the next Trevor Lawrence. Just give it to him. Give it to him. Oh, by the way, Julia, by the way, I'm taking the poll. I've got about 100 people so far. It's like 73 to 27 as far as Chicken Supremes over Bone In. So you're losing this poll. Obviously, Honey Mustard is taking the sauce poll. I mean, that was a no surprise there. But, yeah, people way, way more prefer the Chicken Supremes than the Bone Ins. Like I've been telling you, people just love the convenience of it. Yeah, Bone In is cool, but you know what else is cool? Not needing a ton of napkins after you eat. Boom.
South Florida is at NC State tonight, 7:30 kickoff over at Carter-Finley Stadium. Michael Kelly is the athletic director at South Florida. Actually, he has a fancier title than that, Cox. It's vice president of athletics, Michael Kelly, since 2018. Mike, are you there?
I'm here. Good afternoon.
I even gave you your proper title. Are you excited about that?
I am. Appreciate it. So glad to be here in Raleigh.
Yeah, this game came about before you were AD. This is one of those paybacks, or is this one you arranged?
No, this was already set before I got here, but I'm grateful for the opportunity and glad to have State coming back to Tampa here in a couple years as well. So it's a great series. We've had obviously a couple games in the past, including one bowl game, and it's been good, and we're looking forward to the opportunity tonight at Carter-Finley.
Yeah, I'm curious, Mike, about your perspective on what happened this summer, which started with Texas and Oklahoma leaving the Big 12 for the SEC, and then the ACC, Big 10, and Pac-12's response, which is going to get us a scheduling alliance, which it's probably going to be a little bit further down the line that we would lose some games like this where NC State would play a team from outside of their alliance, if you will. But I'm curious what you saw as someone who used to work in the ACC and also as someone who used to work at the College Football Playoff, just about the shifts in college football that happened this summer, started by Texas and Oklahoma.
Yeah, obviously it's, you know, always kind of reminds you of days gone by when things have happened. It always kind of creates an unstable and an unsettling feeling for many. And, but I think obviously that was in the works for some time. Texas, Oklahoma looking to go somewhere and found you know, found obviously a willing partner in the SEC, and then for the other leagues to figure out what's best for them and trying to stabilize what they think makes sense. And you know, as it relates to scheduling, I think it's a good thing. Obviously, everyone's looking for better games they can count on, particularly if it can be you know, home and homes, you know, from a financial standpoint, to create good diversity of matchups that that'll be attractive not only to and helpful to the CFP selection committee, but just good for, you know, for variety for fans to take a look at. So I always think the opportunity to have some different scheduling alliances makes sense. I still think it'll open the door for some opportunities for games like what we'll see tonight, regardless, because there should still be room and there's some runway, as you said, with some contracts already in place for a while. But it'll, you know, it'll just give more options to certainly the ACC schools as part of their alliance network.
When you see that as someone in the American Athletic Conference, do you think the AAC has to do something to respond to something like that? Or do you think the position that you guys are in now could be beneficial based on the information we saw from the proposal for the college football playoff, which would expand the field and get the top six conference championships in?
Well, if it can stay at the as the way the proposal is now, I think it's great for all of college football, and certainly creates not only the variety that I think is essential just for the sport of college football, but to give more conferences and all conferences really a chance to get people involved. I mean, certainly there's the financial component, which should be, you know, should be important and lucrative. But at the end of the day, from my vantage point, I like to be able to, you know, have our coach go into the locker room in early August each year and say, guys, we win the American, play the kind of schedule that we've got in front of us, we should have a very good chance of getting in the college football playoff. If you're talking about, you know, a 12-team opportunity, if you get down to eight, it becomes a little bit harder. And obviously, with where we are at four, it's technically
you're locked
possible,
out. But, yeah, I mean,
but as you know, it's just almost impossible. So that's why I thought, you know, certainly selfishly from where I sit in the American right now, it would be great. But I genuinely think it's good for all of college football based on, you know, just the kind of the, you know, recurrence of teams that have continued to be in the playoff. And certainly those teams have earned that right and they deserve to be elite and they're not going to be hurt by, they're still going to make it.
Yeah.
But having some other teams that have a chance to do it, I think is good for the sport.
Michael Kelly is the AD at South Florida, joining us here on the Hiester Automotive Group Hotline. It was a difficult year all around in college football last year, and it's difficult certainly to start your career. You had a first-year coach last year in Jeff Scott, who you hired from Clemson, in a pandemic in the way that it was. What did you take out of last year that Jeff did that leads you to believe he can, I guess, I know it's only one year, but he can be the right coach for you guys?
Well, I just think Jeff's just an excellent leader. He's an excellent teacher, and he's a great, great, great motivator. And he's taken the year to really get to know the team better, to be able to gel it much better and implement the culture that we've talked about our vision for USF football. And I really think that's coming together. So when you only have one, when you come in as a, you know, rookie head coach and you have one spring practice and then you're truly implementing your actual football system, not to mention your culture through Teams and Zoom, that's a very difficult thing to do. So, but I think we used the the off season very well. Feel good about the talent we were able to bring in from his first recruiting class, both through the transfer portal and through, you know, our high school network. So we're building back up and making progress, and very excited about the future for us. I think he's the, without question, the best, the right leader, the right youth, the right connectivity to our players that are going to make us formidable.
Michael Kelly, always appreciate your time. Best of luck this season at South Florida. And hopefully I'll see you tonight over at Carter-Finley Stadium.
Absolutely. Look forward to seeing you. Thanks a lot.
All right. Be good, Mike. Before we let her get out of here, Kendra in digital. Listen, Kendra, on behalf of men everywhere, I would like to apologize for all of the messages that are left in your various social media networks. The one that stuns me the most is LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Can you explain that phenomenon to me?
Get a lot of bad LinkedIn messages from men. I just had to literally block a man the other day because he sent me seven messages without me responding.
Seven.
So I had seven.
Were any of them appropriate?
He was basically just asking to take me to dinner and then just explaining what he liked about where he wanted to move. But he kept diverting back to dinner. And I was like, I haven't answered. So please stop. Sam. He's in Raleigh. So
is LinkedIn supposed to be where you find love?
I don't know. I think it's like a new thing lately. I have seen a lot more of it because people will be like, thanks for connecting. And, you know, I'm always like, yeah, you're welcome. And then they try to start a conversation. And I'm like, no. That's not where this is going.
So Kendra in digital. So here's what we've started to do. You did this last week with Joe Ovius, right?
Yep, I did.
All right. So you're going to give us three DMs.
I'm going to give you three DMs.
Two of them are actually real.
Two of them are real.
One is fake.
One is not.
It is my job to come up with the fake. All right, Kendra and Digital, give us the first DM.
Okay, the first DM is, I was hoping you could replace my ex without asking why, but I'll understand if you say no.
I was hoping you could replace my ex without asking why, but I understand if you say no.
Correct.
Did they spell out X as EX and Y, WHY,
nope.
Or did they just use X and Y?
X and Y.
All right. That lends some credibility to that. Okay. Let's go to the next one.
Okay. Next. Do you want a sugar daddy? Up to 500 a week, depending on what terms we can agree on.
Okay. That's absolutely real. I as someone who knows you, I know that is absolutely real. What's next?
The next one is, hi, you're very pretty. I am much older than you, but I noticed that our birthdays are close together. So if you did want to meet for a birthday drink, I wouldn't say no.
Okay, say that last one again.
Hi, you're very pretty. I'm much older than you, but I noticed our birthdays are 2 days apart. So if you did want to meet for a birthday drink, I wouldn't say no.
Okay, that one feels real too, because an older person would say very pretty. Whereas like a younger person on IG or where do you get most of your DMs?
Most come from Instagram,
okay.
For sure.
Okay. I'm going to say the first one is the fake.
You got it.
Yes.
You're actually correct. Joe got it wrong. No, Joe got it right last week. Lauren got it wrong. Surprising.
Give me a bell. Come on, Cox.
Give me a bell.
Please clap.
Yeah. So very pretty is something that older people would do. And Kendra, you're 27 now?
Oh, no, I wish. I'm 29.
Oh, I sold you short.
Hey, it still starts with a two.
Yeah, it
yeah,
does.
Yeah, it's still a two, but very shortly about to be a three.
Okay. Are you excited for the start of the football season?
I'm so excited. I just cannot wait to watch the pack. Am I allowed to tell my loyalty?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, well, there you go. Can't wait to watch NC State.
Your Jonathan Rand is actually out at Carter Finley Stadium today. He's the one tailgating me.
He let me know
that it was.
He told me that
today was your day.
I was going to be talking to Dennis because he was tailgating.
So that
and
was not.
I had work, so you know.
Yeah, but that was not sliding in your DMs.
There.
Rand wasn't sliding in your DMs.
No, Rand
okay.
was not. Rand was texting. Whew. Yeah,
there's probably
so he's safe out there.
There's probably a future segment on the people who actually do slide into your DMs. There's a lot of former and current football players and basketball players who end up in your DMs, Kendra.
Yeah, I think I could get some people in trouble though as well. So
did you use the one from last week where you were propositioned to go attend the NBA Finals in Phoenix?
I was not, but
okay.
I really need to do that.
All right, we'll save that one for future episodes. Kendra in digital, that was sliding. into Kendra's DMs. Enjoy the game tonight, Kendra. We will talk to you next Thursday.
Have a good weekend.
Hey, guys. It's getting closer to game time, and I got to be honest. I was looking at South Florida's roster. I forgot about Cade Fortin. He played at Carolina. This has got NC State stuff written all over it. He played at Carolina. Why the first game of the year do we have to play a guy who's due? He is due. He hasn't played since 2012. That's how long he's been out. I mean, this is like Cade Fortin's the starting quarterback? Are you kidding me? I mean, the only reason we beat them in 2018 was because Reggie Gillespie had like 12 touchdowns. And that was that's the only reason. So I don't like this game tonight. And then great, we get to go to Mississippi State. That's awesome. That's gonna be fun. And then, like, so wait, you start the season 0-2, and then you're 1-2 going to Clemson, and you're 1-3 after that, and then just like, oh, guys, I'm not feeling it. I'm a little anxious because, you know, I mean, I just don't know. I don't know. And the poll's not going well either. More bone-in people are calling in and saying that bone-in, like, it's almost 50-50 right now. I was pretty confident in the Supremes. I just don't know. Like, this is, we're supposed to have one of our best teams, but this is Dave's ninth year, and I don't know, guys. Like, I'm thinking we won 8 games last year. If we win four, the way the season starts, we got to play Cade tonight. We got to play Mississippi State next week. Mike Leach is going to run 70 because he always does. And then I don't know who we play, Furman or Wofford. I don't know, but you never know. If we're 0-2, are they gonna just be down on the season? I'm fine. We're fine. We're fine.
You've been listening to the Best of the OG with Ovius and Giglio podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Brought to you by Capital Financial Advisory Group. Get your total retirement income plan by texting JOE to 21000. Don't forget, this podcast drops every weekday at 6 p.m., and you can find it at WRALSportsFan.com, the WRAL Sports Fan app, or you can subscribe for free at the iTunes and Google Play stores.